You are listening to the inaugural installment of IEEE Talks Software Process, where experts interview experts. I'm Scott Roy Smith, your host here at the IEEE Computer Society Studios in gorgeous Southern California. Right up front, I want to give you a warning. This program is only for software professionals who need mission-critical, proven, and in-depth implementation of software quality, measurement, risk management, and Lean Six Sigma. The content of this podcast is peer-reviewed for accuracy, so you can count on the results. Just add water and apply according to directions. So if you're ready, let's dig in. Today, our experts are two IEEE Computer Society authors, Susan Cathy Land and John Walls. They'll be joining us by a conference call, and John will interview Cathy about practical software measurement. Together, Cathy and John have written several books on software engineering, software process improvement, and how to apply software engineering and standardization to real-world programs. We put both of their bios on the website, but I'd like to briefly introduce them here. Cathy Land has an impressive background spanning more than 20 years of industry experience in this field. She is a former vice president of the IEEE Computer Society Standards Activities Board and now serves as president-elect for the Board of Governors. Welcome to the call, Cathy.
Thank you, Scott.
Also on the call is John Walls. He has had a 30-year career at Lucent and AT&T, which was highlighted by customer-focused and dynamic, results-oriented management and over 20 years of management coaching experience. John is the current Vice President for the Standards Activities Board. John, please take it away.
Thank you, Scott. Okay, for our podcast on IEEE Practical Software Measurement and the use of International Standard 15939 as well as two other quality frameworks, my first question for Cathy is, what is key behind implementing an effective metrics and measurement program?
The key to implementing effective measurement programs is that the members of the implementing organization must endorse the program being implemented. John, this sounds obvious, but the program must be perceived as adding value by those participating. The measures must be viewed by all stakeholders as being realistic, easily implemented, and the measures must be understood by all those participating in the process. Unfortunately, this is where many quality programs seem to fall short. When developing and implementing software metrics programs, just like any other program or initiative, the lead should focus on the specific goals, determine the most appropriate measure, and its proper application. These measurements should then be systematically collected and analyzed, and their use should support both project and organizational decision-making. There must be a compelling reason to collect measures. Otherwise, any additional effort required by project members will be resented, and the measurement program may be abandoned at the first sign of schedule difficulties. In practice, there are three primary motivations behind establishing metrics measurement programs. One primary motivation may be to support conformance requirements. This conformist approach occurs when metrics and measures are generated to demonstrate conformance. The application of metrics and measurement is required by part of an overall greater certification program. Some examples of this approach are ISO 9001 and the Capability Maturity Model for Integration. Here, there is a significant risk that the data generated will not gain wide use or acceptance outside of the immediate environment. A second motivation may be to solve immediate problems. This practical approach towards metrics and measurement tends to be associated with the greatest level of acceptance. However, when closely examined, this approach does not often pass the endurance test, as metrics do not become institutionalized and are often abandoned after the immediate problems are solved. A third motivating factor may be to support project and organizational decision-making. This is often called the realistic approach. Programs that employ the realistic approach when implementing metrics and measurement initiatives often have the most long-term success. The key is to ensure adequate education and preparation so that all program participants help define the goals and understand the importance of each measure collected and what is ultimately reported. Project-level metrics should support the most basic criteria. These measurements should support project planning and estimation and should be used to ensure that the software item being developed meets the customer's specifications. These metrics should also be used to ensure that the software item is delivered on time and within the original budget. Useful organizational measures are most commonly used to support financial reporting and control cost. in an engineering organization, there should be a direct link between project-level status reporting and the measures that flow up to the organization.
Good. My next question is, how are metrics and measurements generally defined?
There are many definitions of metrics and measurement, and the following definitions are the ones that are provided by IEEE. So these are the ones I like to use, so I'm just going to refer to these directly. A measure, as defined by IEEE, is a way to ascertain or appraise value by comparing it to a norm. Also is the way to apply a metric. Measurement is the act or process of assigning a number or category to an entity to describe an attribute of that entity, or a figure, extent, or amount of obtained by measuring. A metric is a quantitative measure of the degree to which a system, component, or process possesses a given attribute. Software quality metric is a function whose inputs are software data and whose output is a single numerical value that can be interpreted as the degree to which software possesses a given attribute that affects its quality. And quality metric is a quantitative measure of the degree to which an item possesses a given quality attribute, or a function whose inputs are software data and whose output is a single numerical value that can be interpreted as the degree to which the software possesses a given quality attribute. Now, John, these are the classic IEEE definitions, but when metrics and measurement are discussed, I like to ask myself, what do people generally think of? You know, software metrics is a broad subject, but for the sake of discussion, metrics can be broken down into two categories and are often discussed as an abstract idea or activity. Metrics as a concept can be thought of as topical. For example, the prediction of requirements or design stability, project cost and effort prediction, or a specific test coverage metric, and computer resource utilization might all be thought of as topics. As an activity, Goodman defines software metrics as the continuous application of measurement-based techniques to the software development process and its products to supply meaningful and timely management information, together with the use of those techniques to improve that process and its products. Now, as practically described and is generally commonly understood, metrics is applied to quality programs and is used in support of government acquisition, are measurement-based techniques that are applied to processes, products, and services to support and ultimately improve the management of those processes, products, and services.
Okay, Kathy, which standards provide support for metrics and measurements?
Well, John, first let's talk about how standards are developed. Standards developing organizations are bodies, organizations, and institutions that produce standards. These SDOs develop standards to provide stability and consistency with the hope of lowering costs in any industry or enterprise. Software standards play an important role if they can be used to reduce cost and complexity when buying software systems, and they can be used to monitor the quality of the systems and products that are produced. Software standards are an excellent reference on what is considered good practice by the international community of professionals that work in these areas. Several software engineering standards offer just one category of standards that provide support and for the definition and implementation of software measurement and metrics. These standards support a uniform approach to the definition of measurement and productivity. These goals are primarily supported by IEEE Standard 1044, which is the standard classification for software anomalies, IEEE Standard 982.1, which is the standard dictionary of measures to produce reliable software, IEEE Standard 1045, which is the standard for software productivity metrics, IEEE Standard 1061, which is software quality metrics methodology, IEEE Standard 12207.0, the guide to lifecycle processes, ISO IEC 15939, which is the information technology systems and software engineering measurement process. Together, these standards provide a common language and framework in support of software measurement and analysis activities.
Okay, that's quite a list. Can you describe in more detail the type of support provided by the IEEE Software Standard 1061?
This standard provides a methodology for establishing software quality metrics. Its five-step quality metrics framework is presented in support of establishing quality requirements and identifying, implementing, analyzing, and validating the process and product software quality metrics for a software system. This framework applies to all phases of any software lifecycle. Additionally, this standard also presents two additional metrics framework, the goal question metric paradigm and the practical software measurement methodology.
Thanks. Can you provide additional information on the type of support provided by IEEE Standard 982.1?
IEEE Standard 982.1, which is the IEEE Standard Dictionary of Measures to Produce Reliable Software, was developed to provide software developers with a common dictionary of measurement techniques. I'll just read the document forward because it provides a good description. And it states, there is a need for measures that can be applied early in the development process that may be indicators of the reliability of the delivered product. The standard provides a common, consistent definition of a set of measures that may meet those needs. This standard describes six categories of product measures and three process measure subcategories.
Okay. How about providing some additional information on the supporting ISO standards?
Well, one I haven't previously mentioned that I think adds value is ISO IEC 9126-1, and it defines quality factors. As described by the standard, this model supports three views of quality. The internal and external perspectives are supported as the quality from the user or the in-use point of view. This standard also provides major and minor quality characteristics, providing the metrics for each. IEEE EIA 12207 is the United States implementation of ISO IEC 12207 and consists of three parts. I've already mentioned 12207.0, which establishes a common framework for software lifecycle processes. And this can be referenced by the software industry. It contains processes, activities, and tasks to be applied during the acquisition of a system containing software, a standalone software product, and software services. It also applies during the supply, development, operation, and maintenance of software products. Software includes the software portion of firmware as well. This standard also provides a process that can be employed for defining, controlling, and improving software lifecycle processes. ISO IEC 15939, the Systems and Software Engineering Measurement Process, does not provide a prescribed set of measures, but rather defines a measurement process for software development and systems engineering. The standard supports both systems suppliers and acquirers and is described in terms of process as well as activities and tasks. The standard defines a measurement information process model and associated terminology. ISO IEC 15939 covers measurement activities, required information, the application of measurement analysis results, and determining if analysis results are valid.
Okay, so what is the purpose of a metrics and measurement program?
Well, John, the following should be applied as guidelines when implementing a metrics program or when choosing measurements. Software measures as implemented help the program manager communicate effectively throughout the program organization. This is one of the key benefits of software measurement. Objective software information can significantly reduce the uncertainty which generally surrounds many software issues on the software program. Measurement can support the explicit identification, prioritization, and sharing of information within an organization, particularly between the program manager and development staff. Software measures can also help the program manager identify and correct problems early. Measurement must be a part of a dynamic, proactive software management strategy. Measurement not only helps the program manager focus on key issues throughout the program lifecycle, the measurement process focuses on early discovery and correction of technical and management problems. Software measures can help the program manager determine key trade-offs. Every program faces constraints. These constraints come in the form of time, limited resources, and various requirements, and all have to be managed. Measurement supports the objective assessment of the various program constraints and their impact, allowing for appropriate trade-off decisions. Measures can also support tracking to specific program objectives. Measurement objectively represents the progress of the software activities and the quality of the software product. Software measures can help the program manager defend and justify decisions. This is one of the most important benefits. Accurate and objective measures help provide the data required to explain how issues are prioritized and managed.
Thank you. So why do metrics and measurement programs fail?
Well, research shows that roughly 80% of measurement programs fail. I just read a recent survey conducted by Information Week that found that 62% of respondents felt that the software industry had significant problems delivering a quality product. When reporting on matters relating to quality, the issues can be summarized as four basic problems. First, a misunderstanding of what is being measured and why it is being measured, or how it's being measured. Secondly, programs or projects simply lack the resources required. This boils down to time or money to dedicate to measurement. Third, incorrect application of the measurement data. And lastly, a disregard for human factors associated with the taking and reporting of measurements.
I see. So what is your recommended approach for implementing a metrics and measurement framework?
Well, the process that I adopt is the bridge from 15939 and the practical software measurement methodology. The first step when working to define a metrics program is to begin isolating measurable program goals. These should be defined at two levels, the organizational and the project. The organizational level goals will be more strategic, and the project level goals should be more focused on those issues directly associated with project quality or performance. It is important to involve all project stakeholders, the decision makers, and those individuals responsible for helping to reach all goals in the process. It's critical that every project stakeholder understand the major and minor milestones associated with the software development effort. This is the definition of the software project lifecycle and all associated activities. The key to successful program metrics is addressing their integration, the allocation of resources, and any other issues associated with lifecycle sustainment at the beginning of the software development effort. Too often, quality is addressed as an afterthought. Measures should be defined so that they directly support organizational and program goals. This step requires determining what should be measured and how to measure it, and there are many questions that should be asked during this stage, like what is the purpose of the measure? Does it really serve a purpose? How is the measure applied throughout the software lifecycle? Can it be automated in any way? Are there going to be any side effects? What about human factors? What about standardizing all the associated terms and definitions? Just practical questions that should be asked at the beginning. Supplemental guidance that support measures definitions should be made available to program managers. This guidance should contain core recommended metrics and supporting measures with project-level examples as a program manager's guide to minimum best practices. It is critical that measurement programs generate useful data that support the needs of both project and the organization. And this data should not just sit in some repository. It should be analyzed and should provide useful information at each stage throughout the project lifecycle so individuals can make appropriate and informed decisions. The data should be relevant to decision-making. The data should be appropriate to the size and scope of the project. And most importantly, every measurement program should be evaluated on a regular basis to ensure that the program goals are being met and that improvements are being made.
Well, thank you, Kathy. This is quite an informative podcast that will help organizations jumpstart their metrics program.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John Walls and Susan Kathy Land, for opening our eyes to practical software measurement.
You're welcome.
You've touched on some important areas that are covered in depth in some publications that I'd like to point out to our listeners. These are listed in the show notes on the website and email newsletter, but I'll mention a few here to start with. The first two are IEEE Computer Society ReadyNote guidebooks. One is titled IEEE Software Engineering Standard Support for the CMMI Project Planning Process Area. And that one was written by Kathy. The other is IEEE Software Engineering Standard Support for ISO 9001, Getting Your Organization Started. Both Kathy and John wrote this one. These ready notes can be found at www.computer.org/readynotes. There are also some very useful books available through John Wiley and IEEE Computer Society Press. They'll also be found on Amazon.com. One is entitled Jumpstart CMM/CMMI Software Process Improvement Using IEEE Software Engineering Standards. Other books come from the Practical Support series. For example, Practical Support for CMMI-SW software project documentation using IEEE software engineering standards. Another, practical support for ISO 9001 software project documentation using IEEE software engineering standards. And there's a new title coming in June of 2008. That one's called Practical Support for Lean Six Sigma Software Process Documentation Using IEEE Software Engineering Standards. Well, that about wraps it up for this episode of IEEE Talk Software Process. Thanks for listening. We'd like to hear from you. Please email podcasts@computer.org to give us your comments and feedback, or visit us at computer.org/podcasts. Until next time, this is Scott Roy Smith saying, may your advancement be manifest.